Hey, welcome to Surfcast. We're glad you joined us. It's actually, I'm sitting here in my office in during Missions Week. I have no idea when we're going to air this episode, so I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that this is recorded earlier than you're hearing it. I'm here with Kelsey Dill. Hey, Kelsey.
Hey, good afternoon.
2013 graduate Lee alum, right?
Yes, sir.
Now you're the executive director of the House of Cherith in Atlanta.
Yes, sir, I am.
We'll get right back to that in just a minute. Micah Shepherd, senior. Now, there's something about being a senior, Micah, when you can actually graduate in 3 years instead of four. And some people take 5 years instead of four, right?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of crazy, but it's definitely worth it. I'm excited to
graduate. And I'm glad you're with us because you actually spent the summer or part of your summer down as an intern at House of Cherith, right?
I did. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we're listening to this Student Spotlight, or we're recording this Student Spotlight. You're listening to this Student Spotlight, and I'm glad you joined us today. So we're going to have this conversation. All right, Kelsey, we're going to jump in with you. House of Cherith. What in the world is the House of Cherith? Where'd that name come from, and how long have you been with this organization?
Yes, sir. So House of Cherith exists to provide light, hope, and transformation to ladies coming out of sexual exploitation, whether they've been hooking, stripping, prostituting, dancing, escorting, whatever terminology you're familiar with, if there's been an exchange of sex for something, whether that's money, drugs, housing, safety, stability, sexual exploitation. And so those are the ladies we serve, 18 and older. We have three houses, up to 38 ladies at any time. We founded this ministry about 5.5 years ago, and we've had over 720 ladies come through so far. So it's been awesome, but I've been involved since the beginning. At 13, I knew that I wanted to help fight trafficking. I remember a lady telling me her story. I don't remember her name or the details, but I just remember it profoundly impacted me. And I looked at my dad, who's a pastor. I said, hey, I think this is my calling. And he said, at 13, you don't even know what trafficking is. So just took a little bit of a journey to try and figure out what that would look like. And then about 5.5 years ago, we started our program.
So now House of Cherith is actually part of the larger organization called City of Refuge, correct?
Yes, sir. So City of Refuge was founded 22 years ago, and they built out different phases of programming based on a new need that they saw present itself in the community. For example, homelessness or vocational training or medical and dental health care. And then we saw a need for anti-trafficking programs with the huge numbers of between 27 and 32 million enslaved at any given point. We decided, hey, it's time to join the fight. And since my father knew that that was my passion, that I've been training for this opportunity, he asked me to jump in. I said, yeah, you're going to pay me to do my dream job? Of course.
There you go. That's awesome.
It was a win-win.
That's great. So now you use the word training for this profession. So what kind of training did you have to go through? Now, you were a Spanish major when you were here at Lee, right? So are we going to now turn this into a Spanish conversation?
Let's hope not.
Yeah, I can't either.
Dr. Stefano will not be proud of my Spanish.
Talk to me about this whole idea of preparation. I mean, so you felt this calling at 13. How do you prepare for something like this?
I don't think you're ever fully prepared, especially with the level of trauma, the level of heartbreak that you listen to and experience on a daily basis. I did a lot of training in things like mental health, first aid, suicide intervention, trauma-informed care, coping mechanisms, trigger identification. I did a lot of that. I read almost every book I could find, listened to podcasts, went to seminars and trainings, and just was basically a sponge trying to soak up everything I could. And then, you know, just being brought up in ministry, being a daughter of a pastor as well as an inner city work life, I just, from an early age, had a heart for others and just joining them in their journey. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically what House of Cherith is, just coming alongside of a survivor and saying, hey, you don't have to do this by yourself.
Great. All right, so Micah, talk to me for just a minute. We'll get back and we'll talk more about House of Cherith and particularly what you guys are doing and a little bit about the unfortunate statistics that are alarming should we listen to those about this whole sex trafficking industry. And I call it an industry, I guess, because it's really what it is. But Micah, out of all the potential communication internships, right, or our internships as a senior in college and spending the summer, why would you want to serve at something like the House of Cherith?
Yeah, so originally I felt I was called to some type of mission work. I didn't know what that meant. I knew it wasn't going to be like the pastor role growing up, but I knew it was something. And so I tried different things at first. I tried journalism or broadcasting, and none of that seemed to fulfill any desires that I had. Mm-hmm. And since I was in middle school, I knew that I wanted to do something with human trafficking. And I didn't know why, and I always kind of like put it off because I was like, I have no reason to have this desire. It's just super strange and not anything I'm used to. And then this summer, in December, it was put on my heart to reach out to City of Refuge because I went there when I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. Right when they were building House of Cherith, actually, they didn't even have any ladies moved in yet. They were still renovating the houses. And I remember walking past them and thinking, I want to go in there one day and see what it looks like. And so it was just super crazy that it was able to work out for this summer. And it was truly an amazing experience.
See, I'm kind of intrigued by what I'm hearing you guys say, because you're saying you were in high school and you thought, man, I really want to connect with this. You were 13, yes, you know, Kelsey, when you're like, man, I really feel a call to this. So it's, how do the ladies that unfortunately have been trapped in this reality of sex trafficking in our world, how do they respond to somebody like you guys who have never really been on the street? You never experienced what they experienced. How do they relate to you? Or better yet, how do you relate to them?
It's a challenge. It is. But again, growing up in ministry and growing up in downtown Atlanta, where I was the minority, where I was going to a private Christian school and then coming home to one of the worst neighborhoods in the state of Georgia, it just made life as a Christian, life as a servant, life in the kingdom, it just made it so much more fun because you're getting to experience all these real and raw emotional moments. Mm. So I've seen my dad in fist fights in the parking lot. I've seen people pull knives and guns. I've seen a lot of things, and I feel like I'm a little bit of a cultural melting pot. So just being born in the country hills of Pulaski, Virginia, being raised in downtown the hood of Atlanta, but then going to Colombia and Nicaragua to study Spanish, you just get to love people for who they are and for their culture. And I think that has given me the kind of foot in the door with our ladies, because I can adapt to other cultures and to other people because that was birthed in me at such a young age. Mm-hmm. And then experiencing trauma from an outside perspective, it helps me want to be able to fight that with such a passion, because so many people I've grown to love and care about have experienced it. Mm. And so just being real and raw and telling the ladies straight up, hey, I haven't experienced this, and I wish you wouldn't have had to, but I'm here to help you through the next few steps. Mm. And then just things as simple as when you're being cussed out and you don't cuss back, you just say, hey, are you finished? You want to go grab a sandwich? Wow. You know, they're used to that rebuttal. They're used to that aggression and that trauma being thrown back at them. And so I think that's what made me a little bit more adaptable, just my chill approach to it. I love the crisis moments. I love when somebody's trying to fight or cuss at me or throw pumpkins at my head. I love it because that's when all the raw emotion comes out.
Yeah.
And that gives you all the room to fill up the negative things with positive things.
Wow.
That's what Micah got to do this summer. She lived in the house. She lived there with 14 ladies that have been through some crazy stuff.
Yeah. What was that like, Micah?
It was definitely an experience. I loved it. All of the living with a bunch of girls in general is just hard. I grew up with a brother, and so nothing like a bunch of girls. So when I came to college, I got like, oh my gosh, is this what it's like to have like 20 sisters? Mm-hmm. And so some days are good, some days are bad, but all of the good made up for just any of the bad. Mm-hmm. But I ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner with them most days. So I did life with them, which was super cool because you just learn that we're all human and we all want the same things. We want to feel loved and have joy and feel like we have a purpose. And so no matter like the past that these ladies come from, just sitting down and playing a board game with each other is just, we're all human and it's just so much fun.
So what's a typical day for somebody who is, you know, they're in, how long do they stay? You know, what does it look like for them? You know, I know you're offering them hope and I know you're, you know, getting them towards transformation, and they're throwing pumpkins at your head. But what does it actually day look like of just kind of exchange with someone who's trying to start over?
Great question. We have a three-phase approach to fighting trafficking. So the first phase of programming is our safe house, and that's the ladies' first stop with us, whether they're coming from the streets, from a pimp, from Homeland Security, the FBI, whether they're coming from jail, that's their first stop. And there the goal is typically a 30 to 45 day stay in which we get them clean and sober and help them make a clear and conscious decision about what to do next. 97% of our ladies have admitted substance abuse issues or challenges, whether that was their choice or it was inflicted upon them. They have admitted that, and so that's one of our biggest focuses. So in the safe house, we say, what are your goals? What are your needs? What's a long-term solution that can align the two to help you be a self-sustaining member of society? So once they've reached that point, they say, hey, I want to commit to a long-term program. We decided to build our own because in the United States, about 5 years ago, there were only 700 program beds available that met all the criteria that we thought would be the highest standard for recovery. And then of those 700, 400 were in California. Of the remaining 300, they barely took any of our ladies because they had severe mental health trauma, were on expensive medication, or had felonies or misdemeanors. If you've been in life since you were 12, 13 years old, you're going to have a lot of those things.
Sure.
So since our ladies couldn't be accepted, we decided to build our own long-term program. It's typically 12 to 15 months. I've had someone graduate in 6 months, have someone that's celebrating 3 years with us, and wow, she's not quite ready to fly the nest. And that's okay, because it's not a one-size-fits-all approach to recovery.
Wow.
Everybody's trauma is so different. Everybody's background and history and the way they cope and recover is so much different. So typically, we start our days with Jesus. We are a faith-based organization. We don't force that. We make it readily available should they choose to walk that journey with us. But we do what we call an empower hour. So that could be a time of prayer and intercession. That could be a time of worship. That could be a time of praise dancing. That could be a time of Bible study. Whatever that looks like. And again, not forced participation, but that's the only thing on the schedule. So otherwise, you're going to be bored without it. So we do that, and then we jump into then we jump into a lot of life skills classes, a lot of peer support recovery classes, things like anger management, coping mechanisms, trigger identification, relapse prevention. Like I mentioned, substance abuse is one of our bigger things. So we do AA, NA, Celebrate Recovery. Any of the A's, we'd probably address it at some point.
Yeah.
So we do those things, but we have fun things too. So we do field trips, and we do scavenger hunts in the park, and we do Boo at the Zoo, and all kind of exciting things. One of our biggest things that we're focusing on now is health and wellness. As a woman especially, the more confident you are in your body, the more you'll respect it, and the more you demand those in your life respect it too. Mm-hmm. And so again, just jumping into the day-to-day life. We do nutrition classes. I've had grown ladies not know how to read a recipe. So we walk through some of those things. How to be successful once you graduate. Budgeting, financing, meal prep, you know. Mm-hmm. It's basically just living with them, but doing some of the trauma-informed care, individual and group therapy things that can help them dig out the negative, fill it back in with positive.
Wow. That was fast, a little bit furious, but wow,
we got a lot to pack in.
Yeah, but I love the statement, you know, we're not going to force it, but you're going to be bored without participating in it. And yes, I thought, sir. Man, what a great way to just invite people to just be real, to just chill and relax and be real.
Yes,
so, Micah, what's your favorite memory of your time this summer with House of Cherith?
Gosh, there's a lot. I think one memory... it was during Empower Hour, actually, and it just, like, hit me the hardest was they were singing the song, This Is How I Fight My Battles, and just, like, looking around the room and seeing these women raise their hands and some of them in tears and just declaring that over their lives, and that was probably my favorite. It was just, like, looking out and seeing none of them have had pretty past, but they're still declaring that Jesus is over their life and he's helping them was just super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was probably my favorite memory, and that like sticks out to me. It was one of my last weeks there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Micah, what do you want to say to college students who are sticking around for another year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, they just got to leave, whatever the case may be? What do you want to say to college students about taking these moments of internship serious, and how can they develop themselves for the next chapter of their life?
Yeah, so I love internships. I've done one every single summer that I've been able to. Definitely reach out and meet someone, or if there's a company that seems interesting to you, just email them.
Mm-hmm.
It never hurts to ask questions or meet new people, and really take advantage of those, because you never know what you're going to be passionate about, and maybe something that you are passionate about, what you think right now isn't what you really think it is like. And so having internships is a good way to figure out what you like and what you don't like and what you want to do in the future.
Mm-hmm. Kelsey, I know you're impacting a lot of people's lives. How have you personally been impacted from 13 years old to today? How have you been impacted from your service at House of Cherith?
It's hard to sum that one up. I cry almost every day at work, and I've quickly realized I'm not an emotional person, but when it comes to my ladies, my heart just explodes.
Sure.
And so I quickly realized the day I stop crying is the day I'm no longer fit for this position. So I've been impacted in more ways than I thought possible. It has helped me grow as an individual in my walk with Christ, my relationships with my friends and family. It has helped me treat myself with more respect and helped me challenge those I am in relationships with to treat me with respect too, because I see what the lack of respect has done to our women, to our men, to our young boys and girls that are experiencing this at such an early age. And just the concept of loving people where they are and not trying to do for them, but to do life with them, it's changed me.
Mm.
And I'm on fire more than I have ever been. I am a redhead, so I'm super spunky and energetic already. But it just, if your job doesn't make you want to cry and cuss and fight for injustice all at the same time, then you got some reevaluating to do.
Yeah.
It is a battle every single day. You have ladies that have come through living hells, and everybody's calling in life is different, but if you're not super passionate about yours to where it evokes every emotion possible at some point, then there's some reevaluating.
So we're unsure who's listening to us, but we know we have a reach into about 38 countries and 46 states, 48 states, I guess, now. And we know that just a variety of people are listening today. What do you want to say to those who are hearing us about this idea of how we should respond to eradicate and eventually eliminate this whole idea of sex trafficking? It's a global issue. It's not just in Atlanta, although Atlanta's a growing, one of the largest in the U.S. I hear, right? What do you want to say to people who are listening today? What is the call that we need to hear on how we can respond to make a difference?
I'd say first we have to educate ourselves. We have to admit there's a problem in order to start finding the solution to the problem. For far too long, in America especially, but even within the churches, we've failed to acknowledge that such a severe injustice exists. Once we admit that it exists, we can then educate ourselves and start spreading the word and have a ripple effect and start training up young men to fight this issue. Start training up young men and women to say, hey, we're no longer going to buy women and children. We're not going to allow this in our communities. We're going to stand up for this. And not everybody's going to be the boots on the ground helping the survivors. Not everybody's going to be the advocates and going to war with, you know, the legislators and all of that to get bills passed. But everybody does have a voice. And finding out where your voice is in this fight would be crucial to helping start the snowball effect of ending it.
Mm-hmm. It is great to have you, ladies. I'm sorry we're going to have to cut this short today, but I think we'll have another conversation down the road somewhere to go a little bit more in depth, because I think there's a lot of information here that we didn't get a chance to unpack that I think would be helpful for people to listen to. How can people connect with House of Cherith? What do they need to do if they want to serve in an internship? They want to write a nice financial gift? They want to refer someone who needs this much-needed benefit and support and help in their life? How do people connect with you guys?
Yes, sir. We have a website, www.hocatl.org, or you can follow us on social media. It's House of Cherith.
Just that easy?
Yes, sir.
Cherith is spelled out how?
C-H-E-R-I-T-H.
House of Cherith. You got it.
Yes, sir.
Micah, well, by the time that you listen to this, you probably will be in your final stages of your career at Lee University.
I know, it's crazy.
Ahead, and so we're excited about it. And we'll take care of your sister, Carly, while she's here. Okay, Kelsey?
Thank you much.
All right, have a great day. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
As always, remember, you're made for more. We appreciate you looking into the hearts and lives of other people to see how you might can make a difference in their life. Until next time, take care.